it's short term. You know, we're not going to jail. We're not going to die. We're not going to war. But we'll end. We will get back to normal. It's just going to take a little bit of a sacrifice for a while. And, you know, when you think about... I spent yesterday after Neil's text thinking about all the great things that footy's done for me. And I reckon I couldn't be any more grateful to the game for all the opportunities I've had. So I figure right now, what we need to do is actually suck it up and do what's best for the game in the hope that we can return to where we've been at over the last 50 years. So that's my attitude towards it and the majority of our players.
Yeah, Dean Jones said it and Sam Groth said it and they were whacked. And a day later, Lions coach Chris Fagan said it and he was seen as a god for giving us that breakthrough of positivity and perspective. Dean Jones has been good enough to join me for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Head to a McCafe drive-thru and grab your favourite barista-made coffee today. Just before Dino, just to clarify the Jason Dunstall situation, he did play for Victoria three times, 3 games, 14 goals, and for Queensland, 4 games and 10 goals, and 1 game for the Allies as well for Jason Dunstall. So they kind of got it right and kind of got it wrong during that period of time. There was a period when he could play for Victoria and a period where he couldn't, and 94 was one of those periods where he and James Hird couldn't. Dean Jones joins me. Welcome to you, Dino. Great to have you on the line.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. Dunstall, what a player. Four best and fairest as well, wasn't he, at Hawthorn? Jeez, what a player he was.
Who was Carlton's best ever? Dino, you're a Carlton fan growing up. Who would you have liked to have been when you were a kid?
Oh, Alex Jezelenko or John Nichols, the guys. But I was lucky enough to go into the rooms once with Craig Bradley, of course, won a premiership with Carlton and also Melbourne Cricket Club. And I walked in the rooms. He said, "Watch Wayne Johnson go about in the finals." And he was a different bloke. He had weird eyes when he went out. By God, he was a big game player. Wayne Johnson, the way he went about his game.
And that was an era where Brattles, I think he played a couple of Shield games, didn't he, Brattles?
Yeah, for South Australia, yeah, and I was lucky enough to play a premiership with him with Melbourne. But Adrian Gallagher, interestingly, was the last player to win a premiership for the same club in cricket and football, and that was in Carlton 68-69, and he played with my dad opening the batting for Carlton as well, winning a premiership.
So the opportunity used to be there for you to do both. Do you think kids should still try and do as many different sports as possible, or do you think you need to start refining your act as a 15-year-old and concentrate on one?
Geez, I would. I really would. Look, I know the AFL kids are pinching our cricketers. Without doubt they are. And what is there? 370 guys on the draft, and 50% of them probably don't play AFL footy at all. And I have no doubt that they enjoy footy more. I enjoyed playing footy more at 18 than I did playing at cricket at that time, but just happened to be better at cricket. I think Warney was the same. But if they miss out on the draft, why wouldn't they try and go back and go and play cricket again? You know, they have a second chance at it, you know, and get some good coaches, get into a club that they're happy with and so quickly develop themselves if they don't make it, even up to the age of 21, 22. Dwayne, we can turn guys around pretty quickly. And we would have known from the ages of 12 to 16 or 17 how good they were playing club cricket, you know, underage stuff and that. So, you know, I'm always for kids, whether it be playing basketball or playing cricket and footy, do as many sports as you can, I think.
As opposed to just concentrating on one from a 15-year-old perspective and working on that one for 3 years in the hope to get drafted.
Well, how many of the great footballers that have come through being great basketballers? Yeah. You know, they do that on the side. I don't think you should allow your kid just to, sure, dominate and play as much as you can in footy. I've got no problem, but please play another sport as well, because I think it just helps you hand-eye coordination skills, all that type of stuff. You know, and also gets you away from footy, which I think at times can dog you down a little bit.
Great to have you on, Dino. You were in the news a couple of weeks ago voicing your disappointment with Cricket Victoria. How have you gone since? Have you had some meetings with them, discussions? Has there been an embrace, even though there's no hugging allowed in this period of time?
No hugging. I've had a call from Andrew Ingleton. That went for an hour. A couple of shots were fired over each other's bows, but I think we ended the phone call on pretty good terms, I think. So, but it's still a bit disappointing. Only three Victorians got picked in the squad of contracted players, Dwayne. for the Australian. I think the squad, the way they pick it now, I wouldn't do it the way they do it. Just for your listeners, they pick, the selectors pick 20 players, contracted players, and they all get a pretty hefty contract ranging from, what is it, $250,000 to $1.2, $1.3 million. And on top of that, they get paid their wages, gains for test matches, ODIs and other ex gratia payments along the way. But I just feel that it should be cut up into three different areas. You're like, a test contract should be 50% of the salary, 30% of the salaries for ODIs, and 20% of the salaries for T20. And you probably, instead of having 20 players, you might have close to 27 or 30 players on contract. And that allows a bit... I know it takes a bit of money from the big boys, from the top five or six earners, but I think it spreads the money out a little bit more for our players, right down to the probably the 30 players, top 30 cricketers in the land.
Do you think you could improve Victorian cricket if you were in charge of one of their coaching jobs?
I'm not saying that. I personally don't want a development job at all. But my major concern, Dwayne, is that from 2000 to 2010, only 17 players made 1,000 runs or more in Shield cricket. Only 17 players. And from 2010 to now, last 10 years, only 4 players. Just 4. So you could say, okay, T20's come through. Players are more wanting to play more T20 and ODIs, etc., more than the red ball. But I still think the development of young players, their techniques and probably adapting more to T20 cricket and the bigger bats, etc., and players aren't making as many runs. The most runs I think was made last year in Shield cricket, that last season, was Badinson. He had 780. Like, a top scorer is still 220 runs short of 1,000 runs. So, and so the 4 players that have made 1,000 runs in the last 10 years, who were they? Marcus Harris, Matty Wade, Klinger, and Boges. And no one else has really either had the concentration of bat for a day or the techniques, I think, are a bit poor. And I think, that we don't have the best premium coaches, batting coaches. The money, invested money, should be in our best kids that are coming through, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, to help them coach and work on their techniques a bit better when they hit the ground running, when they play for Victoria or Australia. So, but the call is that when bad times like these, and I think it's happening in AFL footy, that first guys to go are the specialist coaches, etc. They're the first guys to get picked off, and there's no employment. So it's a catch-22 situation.
So in a perfect world, in a year's time, you've coached at the highest level, short-form level, outside of Australia. Would you actually like to coach in Australia?
I would at some stage. I'm currently talking to Tasmania Cricket at the moment. They want me to do a few little jobs and work on, I think, 7 or 8 players down there to work them out, and I can help them out. If the T20 World Cup doesn't go ahead, I'll be in India anyway, commentating there. I do a lot of commentary off TVs than being here in Australia. And then there's Pakistan Super League finals or playoffs will play in early December. And then, of course, we've got the commentary duties here for the India series. So we'll probably have a 5-test series here. So there's a lot of cricket going on. Then the Pakistan Super League starts again, then the IPL, there's another World Cup, and the cricket starts again, doesn't it? We're up and running. So we'll probably have to enjoy my time having a good break at this current stage.
So you're fairly confident the IPL and the Pakistan Super League and cricket will be up and running internationally in the last little bit of this year?
I don't think the T20 World Cup can. I'm just trying to work out if we do have these pods and hubs the AFL are talking about. So let's do it this way. Let's sort of simplify it for you, the way I'm working out. So say it's Carlton, because they're my boys. Every player's got to be put on be tested. That's number one. They've got to be put in hubs that only be surrounded by people that have been tested and that are negative. They go from the ground, hop into a bus. The bus driver, of course, he's got to be with the team because he can't be with anyone else, because if he goes home or gets a chance to be caught, he could get positive later on. Then, of course, you go to the ground, and every person from the suppliers to the MCC, everyone has to be stay in these hubs, or you can't have people going home. The same maybe with the media. They just can't get close to the players. Certainly, they'd probably go home, but they can't go anywhere else in the G apart from the media room. So it's, you've got to try to control the environment for these players to go through. And the same thing will go for the World Cup. And you've got to have 15 teams, or 16 teams in Australia coming out. I just can't see it happening. I really can't. But it's a lot easier to control one team, say, like India, than it is to have 15 different teams coming out here, that's for sure.
You heard the Chris Fagan suck it up quote. You got smashed a little bit for your quote. Sam Groth was saying the same thing as you and Chris Fagan. Have you had much pushback on your thoughts that you had to stay away for long periods of time to be a professional in your trade, and the AFL players should consider where they are in the overall spectrum?
Well, there's a couple of points. I understand people's opinions, and that's fine. But I'll put it this way, and I listened to Jeff Kennett on Sam Newman's podcast, and Jeff knows more than us. And he said categorically on it, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I wrote it down. I actually listened to the podcast twice, what he said, that if we don't play football by this time next year, AFL is finished. So therefore, if that's the case, and he knows most, that surely for the sacrifice of the game, you're prepared to stay in a hub or a pod for 8 weeks or so 15 weeks or whatever. Now, we do it. We go to Pakistan, India. We're literally sitting in hotels. This is what we do. Oh, but we didn't sign up for that. Well, I didn't sign up to be in my house for 4 months or 3 months on isolation either. But sometimes you have to make a sacrifice to what you do. These, you know, I went at a time we didn't get any money either. And I missed out on seeing my kids' birthdays and anniversaries and all that. That's the sacrifice you do to try to keep money and give your kids a good education in that. But the game at the moment is asking everyone to commit, not just footy, but cricket everywhere, but say it's AFL footy. And if that's, and you, if you're, is there 40 players look like there's some of their partners are going to have babies or something, that's fine. Go off and see the birth. That's cool. Come back, get tested again, and then hop back into the system again. But if it means that for the future of AFL football, which, by the way, has given you a good living up to now, surely you sacrifice a little bit of your time, 2 months of your life, sitting in a hub trying to protect the game.
I agree with
you.
I don't understand their attitude. Yeah, no, I understand the attitude of players because, in a way, they're kind of looking in the mirror and looking at their own circumstance in their own lounge room and what they're facing. But it is the industry, and I've talked about it ad nauseum on this program. It's the industry they need to take into account. What's footy going to look like in 2021 if they decide not to play in 2020? Will all the teams be there? How many players will never have a career again? Is 150 players never going to play again? Will we not have an AFLW? In 20, so all these things, it's the whole industry. It's cameramen, it's physios, it's everybody, catering people, the whole lot. So they need to have a look at that, and I've sort of talked about that a bit. Hey, we're running out of time, Dino. Before I let you go, Bat Pad didn't tell me, but a little birdie told me you might have talked to Cricket Australia as well in the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah, I'm currently involved with a company at the moment. It's got does facial recognition now and also thermal reading straight away. So a fan at the gate at the MCG walks straight in, looks at the at this particular iPad, and it'll work out within 0.8 of a second whether or not you've got you're heating up, and does your facial recognition and opens the gates up and lets you in. So I think AFL and Cricket Australia are all trying to put in these biometrics and find the best technologies to help create a safer environment for the fans and also for the players and to also make it quicken up the process. But I can understand right now thermal technology and facial recognition is a hot ticket at the moment. And I think the relevant authorities are trying to work out what's the best technologies to suit their game, and hopefully we're one of them.
Sounds like a pretty good move, Dino, being in that industry. Great to have a chat to you. Always good to catch up with you, Dino. You know how much I love you. And even though, you know, I understand fully you went on 3RW the other week when we were chatting and you were loyal to 3RW, and I applaud you for your loyalty, and it's great to have you on this program today. Thanks for your time.
All right, Dwayne. Good on you, mate. Take care. Cheers,
bye. Dean Jones, who you've heard a bit in the last couple of weeks, but it was nice to have a McCafe coffee catch-up with him. We're drive-through people at McCafe. We're coffee people. Your calls straight after a little break. 1-300-736-736. Just had a bit of a listen to Dino. Just give us a buzz and we'll have a chat about that chat straight after the break.